great mountain. Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Oh Lord, we want to see you this morning. We don't want to see any man, it's you we want to see. Help us to see you. Help us to know your ways. Help us to touch your grace, that we may live your days. Halabosi Katarishna. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you because your word will come forth with power this morning. Thank you because you are going to speak to us. We give you all the praise. We honor you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody shout. That is not like a shout. Everybody shout. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, neighbor, you are in Shouts of Grace Center. Now go ahead and give a shout to the Lord this morning. Amen. Tell your neighbor your voice will not be muted. It's only in the graveyard that it becomes so silent. So silent. Wherever there's life, there's a sound. He said, I hear a sound. And it's a sound of abundance of rain. When you give birth to a little baby and that little baby refuses to make a sound, the nurses will spank its bum bum, because sound announces life. Is somebody with me?
Yes, sir.
The moment it becomes so silent, depression comes in. The moment it gets so silent, despondency will come, right? It's the spirit. Hallelujah. And that is why you never allow the devil to have the last say in your life. It is the counsel of God that must stand over your life. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can you shout hallelujah one more time? Amen. Amen. Shake your neighbor like you really love your neighbor before you take your seat this morning. Amen.
God bless you, choir.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in church this morning? Amen. This is the best part of service I love so much, because the word of God is so important. And so you bring out your writing materials, everybody. I told you, in this church, it is not stadium where you're watching football. On stadium, you don't need any writing material. But when you come to church, you come responsible with your writing materials. You go get a big diary that won't get lost easily. And you document your experience with God every Sunday and Wednesday. The notes I used 25 years ago, they are still with me. They're still with me. I was still sorting them out 2 days ago, or was it yesterday? I have my notes, and interestingly, I still consult them. It's only an irresponsible Christian that writes nothing down. Somebody said the shortest pencil is more effective than the most brilliant brain. That's because when you write it down, you can't forget. You can easily trace it. Hello? And if you are making notes with your phone, you and I know that you will soon lose that note on your phone. We know that. It doesn't last. So, it's okay if it's the phone you have today, but next time when you're coming to church, come with a book where you can write down the things that God is telling you personally. And every time the message is going forth, what you need to understand is that there are two or three things you should be doing as the message is going on. Number one, you are listening to the message. Number two, you are listening to what God is trying to tell you personally. Number three, you are writing down your action plans based on what pastors just said, this is what I need to do. And then you get back home and take a look at those action plans, and then you apply them to your life. That's how you grow. And that's how your mind is renewed. When you come to church, like you come to watch television, then it doesn't work out that way. Hey, they will put it on screen for us. No, get your Bible and your books and come to church. That's how you grow. Praise God. When you grow up, some of us are already grown anyway. When you get married or you're already married and your kids ask you, Daddy, let me see your note in church. You can pull it out. 10 years before, this is what I used to do. Are you with me? It's like going to class without a note. How do you want to pass? No, of course, you know that is school. You see, then it's about value system. If you value the word of God, you will write it down. You value your class note, you don't want to fail, so you write down. If you value the word of God, you write it down. Because just like there are examinations in your school, there are examinations of life. It's somebody with me. Just like if you don't pass, you won't go to the next class. In the examinations of life, if you don't pass, you won't go to the next level. So you write these things down. This is the word of God. And sometimes the pastor has spent days preparing that message. So you don't just want to come and just lose it all. And even after writing down, then you go to the media and collect that message on your phone. It's free. And listen again and again. Psychologists have concluded that until you listen to a message 9 times, you don't get the import of that message. That's why you listen to the third or the fourth time, say, I didn't know he said that. Because there are things that will just be coming to light. It's somebody with me. The word of God does not die. Heaven will pass away. Earth will melt away. The moon, the sun, and all of that will disappear. The only thing that will endure is the word of the living God. The only thing you need in your life right now is a word from the Lord. The difference between where you are and your desire is a word from the Lord. It is not activity. It is not contract. It is none of that. It is the word of God. It is now the word of God that you receive in your heart that will open the doors for you. It's somebody with me. So coming to church is not a religion. It's not something you just come to do because you don't want Sunday to pass away. It's something you do because there's a vital relationship between you and God. And you don't want to miss out on God. Hallelujah. In the word of God is everything and anything you will ever need in your life. From physical things to emotional stuff to spiritual things. Everything. I mean, everything is encapsulated in God's word. Including your spouse, your wife, your children, your business, the company you want to start, your job, that traveling you have in mind. Everything is in the word. Until you have a word for certain aspect of your life, that aspect will not be birthed. In the month of September 1st to 7th, we are going to take time to fast and pray. God said it's going to be a birthing of destinies. And we all know that September is the 9th month. In the natural, that is the month of birth. It is the month in which the gestation period is complete and the baby has no choice but has to come forth. Hallelujah. The baby has been there for 9 months. The mother has passed through the stages and the different trimesters. First trimester, second trimester, all the time of throwing up and vomiting. Those times you feel like throwing up your Christianity. You've passed through all that stage. Hello, somebody. And it comes to the 9th month. And you see, the things you see in the natural are examples of that which is in the spirit. So there's something about the 9th month, about the birthing of things, birthing of your destiny, your ministry, your business, your company, something you want to start. Everything can be aggregated. Years can be collapsed. And in that same month, something beautiful will happen in your life in the name of Jesus. So we come together to fast. Because what fasting does is that it humbles your emotions and helps you to be sensitive to receive instructions from God. It is these instructions you take from the Holy Spirit who becomes the person that midwives your baby out of your womb. Hello, somebody. Just like, you know, you want to get to the hospital and you need the nurses to be there to wait on you so that the baby can come forth. So the Holy Spirit gives you certain instructions that will help you to birth that which you've been carrying along. I don't know about you, but I've been pregnant for a while. And I want to take time to deliver. Praise God. We like calls to come to the place of birth and not calls to come forth. God said, no, I won't do that. The moment you come to the place of birth, you will be able to give birth to that which you are carrying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so 1 to 7, we're going to wait on God and deliver that which we have been carrying. Amen. And the message I'm going to preach on the first Sunday of September is going to be along this line. Why we need to push. The nurses say, come on, you've got to push. You've got to push this thing out. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Glory to God. Okay, let's get into today's message. That's just something for us to take note of. We're looking at how to deal with uncontrollable anger. Everybody gets angry. If you've never gotten angry here in this place, let me see your hand up so that we can cast out the lying spirit very quickly. You've never gotten angry in your life. Not once. You are always cool, calm, and collected. Nobody has ever gotten you angry. In fact, if somebody is getting you angry, you are smiling. Anybody like that? I don't think there's anybody like that. Because even Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, got angry at a point. You remember? And several scriptures is filled with God getting angry. And his anger was kindled against the children of Israel. You find that all over the scriptures. But there's a certain type of anger or certain types of anger that leads into sin. So the Bible tells us we should get angry because we are human, but it gives certain conditions. And we're going to look at all of that this morning. Hallelujah. In the scriptures, over 500 references in the Bible and over 40 different people or groups are reported as angry. Anger is one of the emotions that can be destructive and that can lead to various problems if it goes unnoticed. There's a man, a professor of philosophy, Dallas Willard, University of Southern California, and for 47 years was a best-selling Christian author. He defines anger as a feeling that seizes us in our body and immediately impels us towards interfering with and possibly even harming those who have thwarted our will and interfered with our life. You guys here, you may want to move over to that side because of the slide so that you can have a full experience. And the choir too, if you want to join the congregation. All right, he also says that anger will evoke anger on the other side. That is, in other words, one person's anger will feed the other person's anger. I guess that's why the scripture says, unto a furious man thou shalt not go. What he's saying there is that don't get married to an angry man, because he will turn you to an angry girl. Hello, somebody. I mean, you don't have problem with anger before. You are cool. You are good. But all of a sudden, there is this angry man that comes into your life, and his anger gets you angry. It will tear you. You know. You just get angry one day. So you want to be careful of certain things here. In Genesis chapter 49, verses 5 to 7, the Bible says Simeon and Levi are brethren. They are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. He says, O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto the assembly, mine honor, be not thou united, for in their what? In their anger, they slew a man. In their self-will, they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. Then he says, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Simeon and Levi are two angry brothers. And at the end of the day, the Bible says, I will divide them, I will scatter them. That's what anger does. Scattering, division, uncontrollable anger. I mean, those two brothers went to a city and wiped off a whole city, killed everybody. Their daughter, their younger sister was defiled sexually. So they got angry. They planned, we're going to fix them. So what did they do? They went into that city and said, you really want to marry our sister? This one said, yes. Say, no problem. We'll give you our sister. But first of all, we want all your men to be circumcised. I mean, when you tell a male adult to get circumcised, that can be really painful. And it's going to take days to recover and to get healed. So after those ones have obeyed, because they want to marry one, and they were circumcised, and they were in serious pain and discomfort, then these two guys took their swords, entered the city, and killed every man. Killed every man, everyone that pissed against the wall. That's every male. Wiped them off. And God said, I will scatter them. I will divide them. You know, if you're an angry person, you don't make another angry person your friend. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You know you are given to anger. Look for somebody that is very cool to be your friend. If both of you are angry, it can be really, really dangerous. So one person comes fuming. I'm going to deal with him. Say, what did he do? This is what he did. He did that. Let's go and kill him. But if he say, no, calm down. So when a husband and a wife, both of them are angry, it can be dangerous. It's disastrous. One has to be on the calm side. And that doesn't mean the one that gets angry easily should not take advantage of the other one and say, you know, I'm the angry one. Who says? Where is it in the Bible? Are you with me? Now, there are different types of anger. Let's look at a couple of them. Number one, there's behavioral anger. Are you following on the slide? Good. This type of anger usually describes someone who is aggressive towards whatever triggered their anger. And this can be another person. This can be someone who always seems to act out or is troublesome. Sometimes the outcome is a physical abuse or attack against the others. So behavioral anger is the aggression you show when you feel somebody got you angry. It's part of your behavior. Number two, passive anger. This one is a very dangerous one. People who use sarcasm or mockery as a way to hide their feelings typically express this form of anger. They tend to avoid confrontations with people or situations. They won't confront you that they are angry with you, but they will keep on mocking you, attacking your self-esteem with their words to vent their anger. Hello, somebody. The anger is passive because your one other friend of yours is telling you, I think that guy doesn't like you, he's angry with you. You say, no, he's not angry with me. So why do you say that? Look at the way he's behaving. It's passive anger. So there are people, anger doesn't show on their face at all, and they're angry. Let me ask your neighbor, are you that kind of a person? Then, of course, there's verbal anger. Number three. How many of you have been there before? Verbal anger. Let me see you. We're in church now. Come on. Verbal anger. Okay. Anger that is expressed mostly through words and not actions. Verbal abuse used to criticize and insult people, put them down, complain. Just go on. No. They don't do anything. They don't beat anybody. They don't slap. They don't kick. But the kind of words they will say. Cutting remarks. And the Bible says somewhere in the scriptures that he said, I am for peace. He said, but my words, when I speak, they are for war. Almost contradictory. Verbal anger is also another form. Number four, constructive anger. This type of anger is a key factor in driving people to join movements and groups. It's the feeling of being fed up with how things are going and the need to make a positive change. You understand that? Something is going on within the society. and you don't like it, and you're really, really angry. So you say, we're going to demonstrate, or we're going to go to the National Assembly, and then that's constructive anger. We see example of this in Judges 14:19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, went down to Ashkelon, that's talking about Samson, and he killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. And his anger burned, and he went up to his father's house. His anger burned. You see, that's because God raised Samson up to use him to judge the Philistines and his enemies. Number 5, self-inflicted anger. Self-inflicted anger. Anger that translates in causing harm to one's own body. People who use this type of anger are acting out by punishing themselves for something they've done wrong. Some examples include starvation, cutting, overeating. Some of these people that go through the painful process of putting tattoo on their body, it's this type of anger they are demonstrating. Are you with me? That's the type of anger that is self-inflicted. Have you seen people that would plug the iron and burn themselves with it? Self-inflicted anger. Say, what's that mark on your body? Who did that to you? Say, I did it myself. Why? I was angry. It's almost demonic. If you inflict any form of harm on your body when you are angry, you need to pray and ask God to help you. We're going to pray after this message, and God will deliver you in Jesus' name. Just punish yourself for nonsense. I'm not going to eat for the next 3 days. And you're not fasting. Say, come and eat now. No. What's happening? I'm angry. With who? With yourself. Hello? This often happens when there is a disappointment. Somebody jilted you. You really want to punish yourself. Why did I ever get into this relationship? What was I thinking? Then you start, you know, putting bodily harm on yourself. That's not the way to go. And number 6 is volatile anger. And this form of volatile anger occurs in varying degrees. It comes and it goes. It can just appear out of nowhere or build into something bigger. It can explode or go unnoticed, and it could be expressed verbally or physically. It's just explosive, volatile anger. In 2 minutes, it's over, but some things have been destroyed. Take a baseball bat, use it to destroy the windscreen of your husband's car. Has volatile anger. And after you are done, you say, I'm sorry. It's the devil. Don't know why is the devil always, you know, selective. The devil won't tell such a person to go to the road and slap a mopole officer. He say, I'm angry. Hello. Volatile anger. Number 7, chronic anger. Chronic. Ever come across someone that is seemingly angry for no reason? There's no reason. You know, shall come be sure. That's chronic anger. You say, what's wrong with you? I don't know. So why are you angry? I'm just angry. That's what you call chronic anger, because there's no reason for it. People with chronic anger are just mad. In general, not at anything specific. In Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Message translation says, don't hang out with angry people. Don't keep company with hotheads, because if you do, you are going to learn their ways. Before you know it, you are getting angry. With the slightest provocation, you get angry. So you need to be careful. Hallelujah. Number 8, judgmental anger. This is where you put other people down and make them feel bad about themselves or their abilities. This person expresses their feelings by making those around them feel worthless. It's judge make people feel bad. As a result, usually it's because you are feeling bad, so you want others to feel bad as well. Have you ever met people like that? Because they are angry, they won't say, why are you, what's funny here? I'm frowning, smiling. You are supposed to frown along. If you ever have a friend you live with that does like that, a roommate or a spouse, it can be really terrible. Because when the spouse is angry, he wants the partner to be angry as well. When I'm angry, get angry. I'm angry, you are watching TV. I'm watching Basketball and Kenny Black. When I'm angry. Praise the Lord. So you need to be selective in the kind of person you work with and the choice of the person you get married to. Ladies, are you here with me? The guy has slapped you 2 times. You say it's the will of God. It's after marriage you discover, you know, as singles you can say it. You can say it's the will of God. But after marriage, you will really know whether it's the will of God or not. He said, I come to church. Let's teach you these principles. He said, well, no. I know all these things. Psychology. You know, psychology of ladies and men. Ah. It's beyond psychology. Is somebody with me? It's beyond what? It's beyond psychology. So be careful. Watch the kind of person you fall in love with. He said, Pastor, he's a nice man. Even though he's an unbeliever. But there's something about him. Anytime I see him, my heart will begin to race. And something is telling me he's the right man. Something. Where will that something be? Eventually, when things go the other way. With a furious man, thou shalt not go. He said he has apologized. Even though he slapped me, it's only 5 times. And then he came and prostrated. He said, we'll never do it again. Ah. You are not sure. Hello. Are you with me? Which number are we? Number 9. Overwhelmed anger. This person relieves stress by shouting. Not the kind of shout we do in church. No, there are 2 different types of shouts. The Bible says, there are different voices and none without signification. In other words, every sound you make has a meaning. That's why when somebody shouts in the middle of the night, 1 a.m., egg by meal, that's not a good shout. It's a shout, isn't it? But it's not a good shout. And you really don't want to join that kind of shout. You just keep quiet near your bed. I say, But if somebody says, come on, somebody shout out, he say, hallelujah. You can join that one. That's a sound of abundance of rain. So this kind of overwhelmed anger, okay. The person relieves stress by shouting and flying off the handle. When they can't take situations and things that are happening around them anymore, when things are just too overwhelming, and that is why it's called overwhelmed anger. They just shout, girl, you're stupid. Use all kind of words. Shout at the person. Overwhelmed anger. You need to control yourself. Bridle your tongue. And put your body under. Is somebody with me? And everybody can really, really put their body under. You see, Pastor, you see, I don't have control over it. If anybody just irritates me a little, I will shout. But now you are in front of an interviewer and they are interviewing for a job of 1.5 million per month and the interviewer is irritating you. Will you shout at him? You will take it all. He said, keep shouting. I'm enjoying the shout. I like the way you are. I like being irritated. Go on, sir. Because something is at stake. So you can actually, in practical, control yourself. Every time you give an excuse that I couldn't handle it, you are lying. Because you could have. There's nothing like the devil forced me. The devil is not that powerful. I always said it on the judgment day, the devil is going to cry. He's going to weep bitterly. As in cry. How are these people are lying against me? That one said fornication attempted in me? When? How? When did I help you to lock the door? When did I help you to remove your belt? Stop lying. Are you with me? No, we are quick to blame the devil for everything. Number 10, retaliatory anger. Retaliatory anger. One of the most common of the bunch. Retaliatory anger usually occurs as a direct response to someone else lashing out at you. Has somebody ever gotten you angry with the way the person talked to you and then you talk back in anger? That's retaliatory anger. And the Bible says we should not give tit for tat. Hello? We're not supposed to operate like that. He said, look, I don't usually get angry, but you got me angry right now. And then you do things you wouldn't have done because somebody else pushed you into it. So it's part of controlling yourself. Are you still with me? Before we go there, number 11 is paranoid anger. Paranoid anger. This anger comes about when someone feels jealousy towards others because they feel other people have or want to take what is rightfully theirs, or they may act out because they feel intimidated by others. And paranoid anger can be found a lot in churches. Hello, somebody. When you feel somebody has what you don't have, or you feel somebody is better than you, you can have this type of anger. Is somebody with me? And we have to be very careful here because this type of anger comes from jealousy. The moment you know you are given to jealousy, you easily get jealous. You need to talk to yourself and allow God to lift you. Because by getting jealous, you are actually delaying what God will have done in your life. Other people's testimonies should be a motivation. That if God did it for A, He will do it for me. Hello, somebody? Because God is not a respecter of persons. One man's testimony is another man's prophecy. If it has happened to you, it can well happen to me as well. You don't look at somebody's shoe and say, sure. Oh, maybe 250 Lura. It's out of jealousy. Take a walk to that place. I love your shoe. Beautiful shoe. Cool. Because what you appreciate is what you attract. Whatever you ignore, whatever you refuse to appreciate will never aggregate in your direction. You see a beautiful car pass here, you don't even know the owner of the car. Say cocaine in your is out of jealousy. You see, if you see a good car, irrespective of who owns it, say, no, that's a good car right there. Thank you, Father, because my car is coming. That's the attitude. Not to condemn everybody because you don't have it. Somebody wear a good dress. Sure. It's bent down picture. Sumo. Cut and Sony. So, your friend is telling you, did you see that shirt? Moriti. That's being jealous. Hello, somebody. Don't get jealous about somebody who is working, have a good job, and you don't have a job yet. For example, somebody is working in a bank or an insurance company or some other white collar job, and the other person say, I like this kind of job. Say, Mama lost she share buku. She had to have 95. Meanwhile, in the depth of your heart, you are praying, God, give me this. You see, you are contradicting yourself with your mouth. And incidentally, what's in your heart, what's in your mouth is more powerful because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yes, Imagine, 5 a.m. I will now be rushing. Let me live my life as it is. So. And then just pray for your desire. God, I need a job. Jealousy is making you to behave the other way. And you need to be one. You need to be together. Not back and forth. Getting jealous over everything and anything. Don't get jealous about somebody else's wife. So, because you see, you are busy putting pomade and a mascara. You think it's by mascara. It's the help of God that you need. That's why you get jealous. Well, you did everything possible. The guy did not look at your side. He's not your husband. Leave him. And the person eventually gets married. Some say, sure, marriage still depends on. That's the heart of people. I'm a pastor, so I've seen all kind of people. That's the way we think. Sure. Oh, like Karawo, turn around. Go push anything. Oh, like Karawo, sure. They cannot hold their hands. Hurry. See the wife is walking in front. The husband is going as if he's the PA. My own marriage. You see, is out of jealousy, and you need to confront those kind of thoughts. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You bring it down. Stop getting jealous over people. Somebody brings a car for dedication. He said, let's go and pray. He said, well, Monsha envelope, Lord, me till he prays. He said, Pastor Nick, act to chair. And you don't pray. Don't do those kind of stuff. Get there, celebrate the person so that yours will be celebrated. Because everything you do is a seed. And what you plant, what you sow, you will reap. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. Paranoid anger. You say, why are you angry? He said, but your face shows you're angry. That's the way our face inside our family. I'm frowning. We are frowners. My daddy, frowner. My mommy, frowner. My brother, frowner. Honestly, I'm not angry. It's just my face. It's just my face. It's not your face. Hello, somebody. It's called paranoid anger. You see somebody using a tab beside you. You are here to buy your own. Say, me, you tell the little tab. Anything tab, we hate it. You read Bible, physical Bible, you want a tab. All this tab. That's paranoid anger. The way you guys are laughing, I'm exposing some of you. See? Yeah, you want a tab. Paper. Consoli paper. You see, you don't get jealous. Praise the other person, compliment from your heart. That's how you attract those things. You will never be at the same level with anybody at any point in time. Because there's something called uniqueness of destinies. The time this person sowed, you didn't sow at that time. The time you sowed, that other person did not sow at that time. The time this one caught a revelation, you didn't catch it at that time. So there will be different levels of blessings being released. When the cloven tongue came upon them in Acts chapter 2, everybody has a cloven tongue upon his head. It wasn't a general thing. Everybody had a cloven tongue of fire. You receive in the, even as I'm speaking, we are receiving differently. Upon all I'm saying, some people are saying, I'm never jealous. And right there, so I say, me, I'm never jealous. You are eyeing somebody. Say, you don't know what you say. You don't feel fine. You don't know what you say. Sure. You say, you don't balabala, sorry. See, we do all of that in church most of the time. Don't envy anybody. Don't envy your HOD. Don't envy your superiors. Don't envy people. You don't know the price they have paid. Ask them, how did you get there? Say, I just like Pastor. Pastor, man, package, come, you know, Mindy. You need to see my picture when my wife married me. You see, what I had then was a coat. There's a difference between coat and suit. Fashion designers want, that's what I'm saying. There's a difference between coat and suit. There's a difference between tie and skipping rope. Our ties in those days, two different types of ties. It's either a skipping rope or an axe. You know axe. That's the way it is. You just have any of those two. And you wear the suit, you wonder, she wear that wrong suit here. And we were still the best of, you know, we are still looking best in those days. It's just that when you now look back, say, how did I ever... this couldn't be me. Just like some of you are going to look at yourself in 10 years time and say, no, this is not me. That's when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, who are like them that dream. Hallelujah. It will be like a dream. Somebody will remind you, you used to. You say, in me, never. I say, I will show you a picture now. Say, to turn it. God will change levels for you. In the name of Jesus. So we've got to go on. After paranoid anger, let's see an example of paranoid anger in 1 Samuel 18:8. Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? At that point in time, he became jealous of David. An evil spirit came over him, and that was his undoing. He began to envy somebody that was under him. You see, one of the things you have to learn as a business owner, as a leader in a department of a unit, or as a pastor, if you eventually become a pastor, is to be secured and allow people under you to rise without feeling intimidated. If anybody wants to buy a plane in this church, buy. I will dedicate it joyfully. And when I want to travel, I will use it. Is it not simple? It's so simple. Buy it. Let's say, we don't know how pastor will feel. How will I feel? I will feel so good. Tra la 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 la. Hello, somebody. Don't be intimidated. HODs, don't be intimidated by people under you. If you see somebody is a little bit smart than you, give that person the job to do what you can do. That's how to be smart. You know that this person can do this thing better. Don't try to, you know, over everything. You say, I'm the HOD, I'm the K. And you will wear yourself out. You learn to delegate. Learn to let people be in fulfilling their dreams. That's how you allow them to rise. Is somebody with me? This was the mistake that Saul made. He became intimidated of David. I mean, David was just a teenager. Just became intimidated. How can they think that David has killed 10,000 while me have killed? If David killed 10,000, is it not for you, the king? It's still yours at the end of the day, but he didn't see it like that, and that was a problem. Some husbands can't allow their wives to have a job that will bring a better pay than him. I don't really care. If my wife gets a job of 10 million naira, I'm so happy. I will help her to share the testimony here. Who really cares? He said, I'm the husband. My income must be more than... Well, where is that? Who says? And these are the days where a lot of women are going into career and doing all kind of stuff. So you don't want to kill your wife. You say, this job you are doing, don't change it. All. Stay there. Continue. That's what God is saying. And it's out of unnecessary intimidation. Are you with me? Number 12, deliberate anger. This is using anger to gain power over a situation or person. A person expressing this form of anger may not start out angry, but we get angry when something does not turn out the way they wanted. And this type of anger is always planned. It's an anger you use to control people. Do your face like this. So that everybody will be scared. No. You were not angry as you were coming. As soon as you got there, your face changed. Well, you want them to know that you're angry. But you're not really angry. But you just want them to know. That's what you call deliberate anger. Planned anger. Most lecturers do that. Are you familiar with such? He's coming, he's smiling. He's like, he wants to collect money for handout. All right, number 13. Sneaky anger. Sneaky anger never lets others know they are angry. They would never know. In fact, they'll be smiling with you like this. You never know they're angry. Deep down is bile. On their face, smiling. Dangerous people. Extremely dangerous people. Because until they kill you, you won't know. They'll just be smiling and smiling. Until they put poison inside the food and smiling. The food is sweet, Abby. That is sweet. That's what you call sneaky anger. It's a demonic anger. Then number 14, we have sudden anger. People with sudden anger are like thunderstorms on a summer day. They zoom in from nowhere, blast everything in sight, and then they vanish. In Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Number 15, shame-based anger. Shame-based anger. People who need a lot of attention or are very sensitive to criticism often develop this style of anger. The slightest criticism sets off their own shame. Very, very sensitive people. You say just one little thing, then they turn their face up to let you know that they are angry. And that's a rude form of anger. Especially if you are doing that in your workplace to your superior. You want your superior to know you are angry. You have to do what he asks you to do, but then turn your face. Hello, somebody. It's shame-based anger. Number 16, addictive anger. These are people who want or need the strong feelings that come with anger. It's not, you see, the goal of these people is not really to get angry, but the feelings that surrounds being angry, that's what they enjoy. That's addictive anger. They like the intensity, even if they don't like the trouble that their anger is going to cause them. They just like that feeling. And this could happen in marriages, where the wife or the husband doesn't like anything like strife or trouble or any issue, but still want to let that person know that I am very annoyed with you. That's addictive anger. So just enjoy the feelings of everybody shaking. You appear from nowhere as if you are the Jehovah of your house. Jehovah Daddy has come. Everybody's knees shaking. That's addictive anger. Alright? Number 17, habitual anger. At this point, anger has become a bad habit. Habitually angry people find themselves getting angry often, usually about small things that do not bother others. They wake up grumpy and angry. Usually things that does not concern them will get them angry. They are driving on the road. They are coming to church. One goat crosses the road. They get angry. You see what I'm saying? He's almost going to park his car. What is the meaning of this? You see, I don't know. What? Such people discuss Nigeria a lot. Which type of country is this? That's where you are living, my friend. And then you are talking to other people, your friends. I don't like this, your country. And you are there. You are from a larger self. A proper Nigeria. I don't like this. This is your country. It's our country. Hello, somebody. So this type of anger, just get angry over everything and anything. The bird that is flying gets him angry. You understand that? The person that is driving, that does not even come near him, gets him angry. It's an habitual thing. And we need to work on that, because once something becomes a habit, we tend to stop seeing it as sinful. It's now part of you. And it shouldn't be. Because the point, the moment you get into marriage, you're going to have issues with that. Your spouse is not going to be comfortable with you getting angry every time. Getting angry over everything. Get angry over everybody and anybody. Talk, do all kind of stuff. No. So let's make sure we don't get angry. In Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. One of the things that can make a husband disappear from home quickly is an angry woman. Because the woman determines the atmosphere in the home. A woman can make the home warm, cold, or hot, depending on what she wants for everybody. If all those of you that you are a friend of somebody's husband, you are not a friend of the wife, don't create unnecessary trouble. You are wasting your time. If you want to be a friend of a man, be the friend of the wife. Hello. Hello, sir. Oh, you don't understand. Most presidents, the decisions are not made in the office of the president. It's in the bedroom. It's the wife that said, no. This is what we're going to do. You say, hey, okay. So your wife is your greatest influence. And that's why you don't marry a stupid person. The Bible says like the ring in the snout of a pig is a woman, beautiful face upon an empty head. Are you with me? So you want to be careful. You like the man, you don't like his wife, you are wasting your time and energy. I'm telling you, you are wasting your time. Number 18, moral anger. Some people think they have the right to be angry when others have broken the rule. That makes the offenders bad, evil, wicked, and sinful. They have to be scolded or maybe punished. You understand that? It doesn't concern them. It's somebody else. Who, he said, is that what he did? I'm going to make sure they deal with him. That's moral anger. Then number 19, we have hate. Hate is hardened anger. It's a nasty anger that happens when somebody decides that at least one other person is totally evil or bad. And lastly, number 20 is a violent behavior. And this kind of anger can lead to anything violent. It could be physical, verbal, sexual abuse. It could lead to several things. So those are the 20 different kinds of anger that we often find. But very quickly, my time is almost up. Let me run through this. What are the biblical instructions concerning anger? Number one, I will run through this. Number one, we are to be angry but without sinning. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Message translation says, go ahead and be angry because you are human. You are in the days of your flesh. He said, however, you do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed what? Angry. Tell your neighbor, don't go to bed angry. Number two, we are to stop our sinful anger. Psalm 37 verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Message translation says, bridle your anger and trash your wrath. Cool your pipes. It only makes things worse. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away. Colossians 3:8. But now you put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication. Number three, we are to consider the effects and consequences of anger. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Matthew 5:22. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Message translation says, I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. James 1:20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Number four, we are to be slow to anger. Don't be quick to get angry. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of what? Great understanding. Message translation says, slowness to anger makes for deep understanding, but a quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirred up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeased strife. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. James 1:19, wherefore my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and what? Slow to speak and slow to wrath. When it comes to anger, let it be in slow motion. You'll be able to take care of yourself. Don't be quick. Don't be fast. Anytime you find yourself angry, slow down. Be slow in whatever you do so that you don't get to regret what you will do in your anger. Are you with me? James 1:19, message translation. Post this at all intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears. Follow up with your tongue. And let anger struggle along in the rear. Don't let anger be so quick to be in the front. Let it struggle along in the rear. Number 5. How are we to deal with other people's anger? Now, it's somebody else that is angry, not you. How do you deal with it? Your roommate, your wife, your husband, your spouse, a colleague at work. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer does what? Turn away wrath. He said, but grievous words will stir up anger. Grievous words will stir it up. But a soft answer turned away wrath. So here comes the husband on the wife, and he's really, really angry at this one. Say, how did you do that? And the wife of the husband say, hello there, what did you say? To calm him down. But the husband said, why did you? Oh, mama, stir up. Before you know it, they will beat up themselves. Hello, somebody. If your husband or your wife is angry and he says something angrily, just take a look and say, hello there, you look so handsome. That's why I married you. They will say, ah, look, I'm not playing now. I said you look so handsome. It's going to calm him down. But now he's so angry. He said, who did this? Are you so stupid? You are the one that is crazy. Your father, your mother. It will stir it up. It's like you are cooking it. That's why concerning Psalms, the Bible says anger burned. So a soft answer. Tell your neighbor, soft answer. Message translation says a gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. Just like you can diffuse a bomb, a gentle response can diffuse anger. Dealing with the problem of sinful anger, number 1, get rid of excuses. You see why you need to write down now, okay? Do you see why you need to write down? And why you need to get the message after the service and listen over and over? Now, I'm going to stop here because of our time. I still have a lot of things here, but I'm going to stop and I will finish this on Wednesday. If you can make it down on Wednesday, before, don't allow anything to stop you, I will finish this. But in concluding this morning, on Wednesday I will tell us how to deal with the problem of sinful anger, if you have such you are dealing with. But in dealing with anger, and as I pray for us this morning, the first question is, let's look at the Godhead. The Bible says we are created in the image of God. Can you play that keyboard very softly for me? Very softly, slowly. We are created in the image of God, right? And all over the scripture, the Bible says that God's anger was kindled, meaning that God got angry. In the New Testament, we see Jesus got angry. At the time, he was at the temple where they were selling and doing what they are not supposed to do. He got angry and blasted them out. At another point, he was about to heal a man whose hand was withered. And the Pharisees and the other people were looking at him, whether he will heal on the Sabbath day. And the Bible says, he looking around in anger was was talking to them, he was angry at their religious mentality. So Jesus got angry. The only person I see in the scripture in the Trinity that doesn't really get angry in that sense is the Holy Spirit. Now this is the way it was. The Bible says concerning the anger of the Lord that his anger is but for a moment, in his favor is life. Because if his anger is not for a moment, all of you will have died. His anger is for just a moment. It doesn't last. If it lasts more than 2 seconds, you are dead. His anger is for a moment. Then elsewhere in the scripture, the Bible says, God is slow to anger. So when something should get him angry, before he gets angry and does some things, in the process of being slow, the Holy Spirit will say, no, no, no. Jesus will say, mercy, mercy. So we see that even God now, right now, what helps him and stabilizes him not to get angry, because he has the capacity to be angry, what stabilizes him is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit in him that says, no, 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 you can't kill this man yet. Mercy, mercy, mercy. So the Bible says is the father of mercies. His mercy endureth forever, but his anger is for a moment. Are you with me? So the same thing now, because we are created in the image of God, the only thing that will help you to deal with anger is the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit of God, which is in God, that helps him, is the same Spirit that will help you. Can we stand upon our feet this morning? I've not concluded this message because of time. I'll continue on Wednesday. But I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If you know you have issues with anger, I want to pray for you very quickly. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Halabadoshia. Talk to God and say, Lord, help me. I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to destroy my life and the goodness and the things you are doing for me, because anger destroys. Say, Lord, help me. If you have anger issues, put your right hand on your chest. I'm going to pray for you right about now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you can make it on Wednesday, come around. I'm going to pray for you on Wednesday and lay hands on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these ones. We come against the spirit of uncontrollable anger. Your word says you will take away the heart of stone. I pray, O Lord, that anger be taken off the lives of these ones. Uncontrollable, demonic anger, we speak against you in the name of Jesus. We command you to lose your hold and lose your grip in the name of Jesus. This morning I proclaim you free under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I release over you fresh oil, fresh anointing that will stabilize your emotions. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody say,
this is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at KHC Event Center, Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.